I invite you to remain standing as we read our gospel lesson today. It is Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus replied, "Weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, it's a story that some of us have heard countless times before. You know, there's a certain comfort in hearing these words. But there's also a danger. Because the more familiar we are with the story, the more likely we are to simply stop listening. I mean, we know what the story says, so why listen? And because we don't listen as closely as we should, we run the risk of missing something very, very important. Perhaps it's something different that we haven't heard before, or perhaps it's a challenge that we need to hear anew. And that's the way it is in today's gospel lesson. Those of us who have been churched most of our life, we've heard the story of the 10 lepers. We know it well. We know all about leprosy in the ancient world, and while we may not be able to quote the verse from Leviticus that told lepers where they could live, where they couldn't live, what they could wear and what they couldn't wear, and what they could do and what they couldn't do, we do know that lepers were, they had to live outside the city wall. They had to live outside of where everyone else existed. But did you know that in addition to having to live outside the city wall, and whenever anyone came close enough to see, they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean," they actually had to wear bells. You know, kind of like we put on our cats so we know where they are. Lepers had to wear bells. Why? Well, for the same reason we put them on our cat. So people could see them, could hear them before they saw them. You see, the ancient people were so afraid of getting leprosy that they believed if they got close enough to a leper that shadow of the leper fell over them, they were risking getting the disease. And so it was important for them to be able to hear before they could see. Can you imagine how dehumanizing that would be? It would be extremely difficult to live under those circumstances. Can you imagine? But in today's gospel lesson, there is even a bigger tragedy that goes on. There's something else that is even worse than usual. And chances are most of us just missed it. And in missing it, we've missed a very important lesson, a lesson that has so much to teach us about how we should live our lives in faith. So does anyone care to guess what we missed? It's there in front of us. We have all the knowledge we need in our head. It's there. We just need to read it and hear it. Anybody? Four simple words. He was a Samaritan. Exactly. Stop and think about that. Do you know what it meant? He was a double outcast. Like the other nine lepers, he had essentially been abandoned by his family and his community. Now understand, it wasn't that the community and his family didn't care. We seem to think that the people in the ancient days didn't have any feelings. The way we talk about them, the way we say that the children were nothing and women were second-class citizens, and it's not true. Communities and families loved each other. And to have your spouse or your parent be condemned to live outside the city wall, it was a terrible thing. Who do you think brought them food and the clothes they needed to wear? Who do you think came and checked up on them as close as they could get? It was their friends. It was their family. But for the most part, they lived in isolation. Without antibiotics to treat the disease that is essentially dead. I read this week where 95% of our population is actually immune to leprosy. But without the antibiotics to treat the disease, if they didn't maintain the distance from the leopard, they risk decimating their entire society. Their whole entire communities would have been wiped out in just a short matter of time. So regardless of the love that they felt for each other, they had to keep their distance. They had to send the lepers away. But remember, this particular man was not just a leper. He was a Samaritan. Do you know what that meant? He was an outsider to the outsiders. The other lepers were Israelites. And just because they shared the disease with the Samaritan didn't mean that they had to share their lives with him either. Yes, he had to be in the colony. But they didn't have to like it. He would have been shunned by the rest of them. And while the other nine would offer each other support, he would have been ignored. He was alone. He was absolutely alone. Has anyone here ever been the outsider? Have you ever experienced an entire group of people getting up and walking out because you walked in? Have you ever had people just turn their backs on you? Get up and move because they didn't want to sit by you? Did you ever have anyone refuse to speak to you or maybe make you the brunt of the joke for no other reason that you weren't one of them? I mean, maybe they didn't grow up in the community. Maybe they married into the family. Perhaps they shared a different view or felt called to do something different. Have you ever been there? Do you know what it's like? When it happens, the person who's being shunned has a decision to make. They can react in one of two ways. They can become angry and embittered. And one can see why they would choose to do that. It hurts deeply. But that anger, that bitterness, while it may be justified, if it isn't kept under control, it will eventually take over one's life. We've probably all known someone who is just always angry. They lash out at everything and everyone. For some reason, nothing ever pleases them. And the problem is that we only see their anger. Oftentimes we never question what's beneath it. Why are they so angry? What's happened to them? We just leave them alone so their bitterness can grow. But some who experience being the outsider, they choose to use it to their own advantage. In place of becoming embittered, they become observant. You know, when you're the outsider and no one's really speaking to you or paying attention to you, you can stand back and you can look. And you can see what's really going on. Because even in the in-group, there is the outsider. Right? When you're the one who's being excluded, you have the time to look around. Nobody asks you to do anything. Nobody expects you to take part. So you can use it as a gift. You can see the small things that are going on around you. You can appreciate those rare moments when someone reaches out to you. You learn to hold on to the good. If you don't want to be embittered, if you want to act out of gratitude instead, it makes all the difference in what you see and how you respond. And so it was with the 10th leopard in today's story. Now, in their defense, the 9 showed remarkable faith. Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." That was before they were healed. That was before their sores disappeared and their rashes left. But Jesus said, "Go," and they went. That took remarkable faith. But given everything I've said, when the 10 of them started walking down the road to the synagogue, do you really think anyone turned around to make sure that the Samaritan was with them? Do you think anyone cared? Another interesting aside, they were on their way to the synagogue. Why should he even follow? He wouldn't have been allowed to go in. The priest would not have come out to declare him clean. Did the other nine care? Probably not. It was just the way things were. So I imagine that the nine were far out ahead and the Samaritan was lagging behind. Now the scriptures tell us that one of them saw that he had been healed. But we really don't know which one. Can you imagine the excitement, the joy, the laughter that went up when they saw that they had been healed? Because no doubt when the first one noticed it, they all looked at themselves and each other and figured out that the miracle had happened. At that point, I can only imagine how they were dancing and laughing and turning in circles. They were going to get to go to the synagogue. They were going to get to go home. They were going to get to resume their lives. But only one of them thought to give thanks. Only one of them turned around and went back. Was Jesus still standing in the same place? Or had he resumed his journey toward Jerusalem? But the Samaritan was so filled with gratitude. He had to find Jesus. He had to say thank you. He had to fall down and worship the one who had made all of this possible. As for the other nine, well, yes, they had faith, but they also demonstrated the same entitlement mentality that is rampant in our society today. I mean, they were, after all, Israelites and God's chosen people. They were the holy ones. They deserved the miracle. There was no need for giving thanks for something that they deserved. They considered it rightfully theirs. And so they went on with their lives. It was immaterial to them where Jesus was. They didn't care. Yes, they were healed. Their leprosy was gone. But in not turning around, in not going back out of gratitude for the miracles they had received, they missed receiving the greatest gift of all. They were made well, but they were not made whole. They may have been cured of their leprosy, but you can be guaranteed that their life was not going to be a piece of cake from then on out. There were still going to be things that happened to them. They were still going to be faced with disappointments. They were still going to have things that they didn't understand happen. But they weren't made whole. If the other nine had not received the miracle, if the story had ended in disappointment of being sent back into a life of isolation, would they have still praised God? Would they have given Jesus thanks for what little they did have? Or would they have been angry? Would they have pointed out the seemingly cruel trick that had been played on them? But the 10th leper, he turned around. And out of gratitude for what Christ had given him, he fell down and worshiped. But like the other nine, he still had so much to face. He was still a Samaritan. He was still an outsider. He still had restrictions placed upon him because of the geographic area that he lived in. He was still limited in what he could do. And yet, he was the one that turned around and fell at Jesus' feet. He was the one that was filled with praise for God. Why? Because he was whole. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." His body and his spirit, they were together. And his spirit knew that even in the midst of the trials and tribulations, God would still be there. And he still had reason to give thanks. You know, gratitude, it draws us out of ourselves into something or someone greater than ourselves. It comes to us. It comes to us when we focus not on the negative or solely on our wants. It comes when we become positive, when we hold on to the small moments, when we allow them to influence our faith more than the negative things that happen to us. Those positives include knowing that the God we worship is the one who, despite our circumstances, hears our cries and will always be there for us. When we choose to be grateful, we can be honest about the disappointments and the hurts. But we don't have to allow them to control our actions and our thoughts. We will instead focus on all those ways we have already experienced healing. And in doing so, we will want nothing more than to turn around, to go back, to say thank you to the great and mighty God that we serve, the one who will never, ever leave us alone. Thanks be to God. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.